One of the first workshops to kick off here at the Clean Cities Congress focused on information for fleet vehicle participants. And giving the presentation is Leo Thomason, who works for the Alternative Fuel Vehicle Institute in Las Vegas. And Leo, I guess first of all, I'd like to know a little bit about the kind of people who are going to be coming to this session that you're having and what they expect to learn.
The people that would be here would be from fleets that are either have or are considering using alternative fuel. Alternatives to conventional gasoline and diesel fuel. They might be thinking about it. They might be doing it right now. They may be considering the installation of a fueling facility that would serve their fleet in case they're buying that fuel now off of what would be considered the public rack. So those are basically the kinds of people that would be in here. Or anybody that's come to this Clean Cities Congress and Expo for the first time and may not be familiar with alternative fuels or the legislation that's driving our country toward the use of those fuels.
So are these, when you talk about fleets, are they government, private enterprise, or a combination of all that?
The answer to that question is yes. They cover the wide spectrum. We have people here from the Department of Energy. We've got people here from DOT, from GSA, the General Services Administration. Also city, county, local government fleets, transit fleets are represented here. So it's a broad spectrum of the fleet market that's here.
Well, you seem to have a pretty full group this afternoon. You're just on a break right now, and I thank you for this opportunity. What are some of the types of information that you're presenting to them?
Well, first we present some of the legislation that's driving us, has been driving us since 1990 with the advent of the Clean Air Act, which then in 1992 they passed the first Energy Policy Act, which had a tax deduction involved in it, which some people couldn't take advantage of. Then in 2005, the president signed a Energy Policy Act of 2005, which changed all of that into tax credits that cover both all of it, the vehicle, the fueling infrastructure, and actually tax credits for the use of certain alternative fuels. So the legislation that's driving us or providing the incentive, if you will, for us to use the alternative fuels is what we start with. Then we show the students, people that are attending this, examples of vehicles that use the fuels that they could get these credits for buying and using. And then we're talking now about the fuels themselves. We start off talking about biodiesel and where it's made from, the different blends of biodiesel that are currently available and able to be used in what types of diesel-powered vehicles. E85, which is a blend of ethanol, 85% ethanol, 15% gasoline, and what you need to know about your vehicle before you can use that fuel. Then we talk about hydrogen and the uses of it both as an internal combustion engine fuel as well as fuel cells. We talk then about natural gas in both a compressed state as well as in a liquefied state, and then propane. And those are the major alternative fuels that are going to be discussed at this Congress, as well as vehicle technologies that will be here at this Congress for people to see. And again, this course is more of an introduction to get them familiar with the fuel, familiar with the jargon, familiar with the technology and the vehicle technology, as well as the fuel technology and where it comes from.
Is there any one of those fuel alternatives that is more prevalent in fleet usage right now?
Well, it's certainly on the light-duty side, you would tend to see some biodiesel being used in fleets and also some ethanol, E85, being used. In the medium and heavy-duty fleets, it's looking more like natural gas and propane are being used in those heavy-duty applications.
What are some of the types of questions that you hear most often from the people here attending this type of session?
Well, on the legislative part, they're asking about things like, what happens if I want to modify or rebuild my existing fueling facility? Do I take advantage of the tax credits? Those are questions that are being asked. On the fuel side, some of the problems that we have with some of the derivatives of these alternative fuels that might cause clogged filters or maybe some bacteria getting into the fueling system that may not have been a problem with diesel is now a problem with these alternative fuels. So those are basically the kinds of questions, more from a maintenance perspective, more from how transparent is it really? Is it something that I'm going to have to pay attention to, or can I just put a new fueling station down and basically treat it like I have treated gasoline and diesel over the years? And in most cases, there's some things that need to be paid attention to that you didn't pay attention to with diesel and gasoline.
So for the people who can't be here at the Congress but want this type of information, where would they go to find it?
Well, certainly they could come onto our website at afvi.org to get some examples of this, or they could give us a call at our office in Las Vegas at 702-254-4180, and extension 22 is my extension, and our office is extension 21 for our office manager. So certainly if they called and asked, we'd be more than willing to provide this information to them.
Great. Well, thank you very much. That's Leo Thomason with the Alternative Fuel Vehicle Institute here at Clean Cities Congress in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.